Thank you very much indeed for your warm welcome, and you have indeed extended to us an hospitality that we know we do not deserve. So I would like to thank you again for taking me under your roof to be part of your worship. And I know today is a very special day, so everybody is thinking about, hey, come on, man, we are going to have a feast to celebrate a Mother's Day, right? So hopefully we are going to be short and sweet, right? So, and I mean, just like in our church, Sugar Land Chinese Baptist Church, I always thank my congregation, English congregation in particular, for bearing with me in my Chinglish. So let's begin with the scripture reading from the very last chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We will read from verse 1 to 19. Let's read all together. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and go into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, they answered no, and then cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in, because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was fit for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging a net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, and they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net shore full of large fish, 153 of them. And altogether there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They know it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So today this is such a long passage indeed, but this is the final chapter in the Gospel of John in which Jesus finally, on this side of eternity, he wanted to show his disciples how much he loves them. So this is the Jesus' final showdown, and he wants you and I to know as well how much he loved us. So love is a thing that really carries us through, even though we may not know it. You see, like when we were just like babies, right? We are learning to walk, and we hold on our hands and reach out, and our parents, you know, my mom's, you know, your mom's hands hold out to you and carry you to learn to walk step by step. So, and you would probably, well, you know, kind of asking your mom in a very sad and quiet way, do you love me? And mom says, yes, of course. So this is kind of heart-to-heart transaction. So between your mom, your parents, and you. And then when you grow older, like your teens, right? You will always have a text. And then you just, between you and the one that you love, there's hundreds, thousands of texts. And what does all these millions of words and night and day of chatting, you just say, do you love me? And so what is love? And when you are about to commit yourselves to the other person whom that you sense that God has given you for a partnership of life, you will come to church, right? And then the pastor in officiating the marriage ceremony would ask, say, Mary, do you love John? And then Mary has to say, yes. And then pastor would go on to say, when John is young, and even when he's old, when John is rich or poor, or when John is healthy or sick, do you want to love John? And Mary has to answer with a resounding yes. In the same way, pastor would ask John the same questions, the same set of questions. Do you love Mary? Even when Mary is just like a spring flower, like now we have the lily, Easter lily, right? Bright and bloom so beautifully when he's 18 years old, when he's 20 years old. But how about when Mary is 82 years old and lying on a sick bed? Do you still love her? And do you still love Mary? John has to answer in a very assuring way to the pastor, to congregation, in the presence of God and in the presence of brothers and sisters. Say yes. So love really holds the key to our life. In reading the psalm, we will read passages like, Lord, your love is better than love. Your love is better than life. So what? What is the kind of love that is better than life? So in this passage, the Gospel of John chapter 21, Jesus wants to show his disciples whom the Father has given him. And in the John's Gospel, we read from the very beginning to the very end. This, we call this gospel, is a gospel of love. So the most Bible verse that you and I probably would have in a carry in your heart, and is John 3:16, right? What does John 3:16 says? For so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And in John chapter 13, chapter 13 all the way through 17, that's the Last Supper, that's the farewell discourse that Jesus has given in the Passover. So in the beginning of that Passover discourse, it's explicitly said, Jesus loves all those that belong to him. He will not let anyone behind, including you and me. So now in the final showdown of Jesus, he wants to show his disciples how much he loves them. It's worth repeating, right? Three times that we just read that Jesus asked Peter, even to the point of boring and troubling Peter the third time. But it is the point that, you know, it was repeating. When I came this morning and used the men's room, and I saw that it's really something really kind of, you know, it's kind of, you can say, humorous. It says, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 13. Can any man or boys know what that Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 13 says? It's posted right in front of our ears. What does it say? It says, you know, something like, you got to be good, right? So, but it's a Deuteronomy which caught my eye. Deuteronomy means the second commandment. It's something that worth repeating. God's word, God's love is worth repeating. And here Jesus repeats it three times. And so what's the point in pressing the point? Peter answered Jesus each time saying, yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. So it's kind of boring. It's kind of like troublesome, right? Have you been asked by someone you know that you truly love and you think that they know you love them? But between you, there's a kind of very queer exchange of dialogue saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, yes. So probably you are, some of you may not be old enough to know an old movie. It's called The Fiddler on the Roof, right? Wu Din Sang, the teaching song. So when that old couple, now in their golden sunset years, so the old guy asked his wife, do you love me? And then his wife said, are you out of mind? Are you kind of crazy? I have followed you all those 30, 40 some years. I raised you three children. I cooked for you. I cleaned the house for you. Wherever you go, I will follow. And now, after all those years, do you still have doubts? Do you have still some kind of suspicion that I don't love you? How come you ask this kind of question? But that's the point. That's the point. Impressing the point. Because even in our old age, maybe we are 70 or 80 years old, we live in a nursing home. We are still pressing the point. We are living in an old nursing home, but during the Thanksgiving or Christmas or even the New Year, Chinese New Year in particular, your parents, I mean, just like me, right? Old, yeah, 73 years old. We would just look out the window from our nursing home and our neck stretching far out of our window saying, are they coming? Are my children coming to see me? Do they love me? Do they love me when I'm already young and then done for? Do they still remember me? Do they in this Chinese New Year? So that's the same thing that Jesus wants to press in on Peter, you know? So that's the point in pressing the point, okay? So Jesus wants Peter to know how much he loves him. Even though Peter, you know, says again and again that Jesus, yes, you know I love you. And Jesus knows Peter loved him very much. But does Peter know how much Jesus loves him? So today, that's the question for you and me. As followers of Jesus Christ, as the single object of the pursuit of Jesus' love, he would pursue us, he would chase us even to the four corners of the earth. That is to say, he wants us to know how much he loves us, even while we have been saying to him again, morning and night in our prayers, said, Lord, you know I love you. Just like a very traditional church hymn that we all know so very well by heart, Amazing Grace. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. There's a double blessing, and Jesus here wants to give Peter not only the double blessing, but a triple blessing. You know, I love you, even though I already know you love me. So there's a healing wounds that you and I need to have. We need to be healed on our hurt, when our brokenness, when our despair, when all these things, all the disappointments in our life seems to be crossing on us. The love is just a bubble burst. But do we hear Jesus asking us, do you love me? So that's the healing wounds that Jesus wants to give each one of us. And when we heard Jesus saying that, then we would know why he loves us. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, our Lord God, we thank you so very much that you have given your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin, to save us from our guilt, to save us from ourselves, to know that how much you love us. So help us, Lord, in this Mother's Day, as you have through our mothers, that you have given us a huge share of your love. And now we read your word in the Gospel of John chapter 21, how much you have loved us. So help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 3 points we want to go over in this Jesus' final showdown. You know, I love you. So Jesus wants to sink in, to soak in our lives. The first point is Jesus, feeds Peter when he's exhausted. And second point is Jesus rehabs Peter when he collapsed. Peter was really at the very bottom of the pit. He's totally collapsed. But Jesus wants to rehab him, step by step, little by little. And the third point is Jesus uses Peter even when he feels irrelevant. Do you, some of you, no matter what age you are, you may feel irrelevant. What am I here for? What am I here? What am I on this earth for? So Jesus wants Peter to know that he is useful. Jesus still wants Peter to follow him. So first point is Jesus feeds Peter when he's exhausted. So we, in the chapter we just read in 21, Peter said to his friends, "Say, hey, come on, man. I mean, everything is in the past. I mean, the water already passed. You're under the bridge, and we go out from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is far back behind." And we now go to the Sea of Galilee, from the south, traveling from Jerusalem to the north to Sea of Galilee. Let's go fishing. And they say, yeah. I mean, our following of Jesus, this is just a bubble burst. This is just, Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified. And then there is nothing to hope for beyond that. So they all went to the Sea of Galilee to go fishing, right? And so Jesus, he says, he wants to pursue them, to pursue his disciples with his love. So by the Sea of Galilee, as we just read, it says Jesus appeared to them the third time. So this number, verse 3, has a very peculiar, unique meaning, because we know Trinity, right? I mean, just like the Apostles' Creed we just read, it's a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. So it says, and then also the Gospel of John, you would say the third day or the third hour. So here, John, you know, catches that number 3 again. He says, how much Jesus want to pursue them to let them know he loves them. So the third time, Jesus appears to them by the Sea of, when they were fishing. And then in the passage we just read, we have 7 disciples there, right? There's Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, and Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. When we read this list of names, it's just like a laundry list, right? It's just Mark, John, you know, in Chinese say, Zhang San Di Si Wang. No. There's something hidden there. We have to read between the lines. He says, the Thomas, who is this guy? Thomas is a doubter, right? Thomas said, no, I don't want to believe. And now, even though there are many people, the sisters told me and the brothers told me that they have seen the risen Lord. The tomb is empty and the Lord has risen. But Thomas said, no, I still have my doubt. And I have my reason of doubt. So please, give me room for doubting. So Thomas said, I want to probe my hands into Jesus' hands, you know, and then his side. So he's a doubter. And when Jesus appeared to him in a small room, he says, Thomas, yes, please, just hold out your hands and probe my sides. And Thomas said, wow, I believe. And then he uttered the first complete confession. He said, Jesus, you are my Lord, my God. My Lord and my God. It is not just say, my Lord, or just guy, my Lord and my God. Nathanael, and another person named there, he's a despiser. Nathanael, when he first met Jesus said, I know what you're thinking of me. I know you because I have seen you from afar when you are sitting under that mulberry tree, right? I know what you're thinking. You from afar, you have despised me because you are thinking in your heart, say, oh, come on, man. Don't give me a break, you know. This place, you know, Nazareth, I mean, this Galilee, what good can come out of it? What good can come out of this woodland place? This is just it is a place in the middle of nowhere. I mean, in the Chinese says, it is a place where chickens don't lay eggs and birds don't lay their waste. I mean, it is a jibulas. So this is a nowhere in the Old Testament, according to genealogy, according to the background. There's nothing in the Old Testament, in the mainline tradition, that would say there will be something coming out from Nazareth. It is just a nowhere place. So he despised Jesus. And then Jesus said, yes, I know what you think of me, but you will still see greater things. The greater things being that Jesus will be lifted up. You know, he will first die and then be buried, and after 3 days he will rise up again, and then you know, go to heaven and then come back again. So Nathanael is a despiser, Thomas the doubter, and sons of Zebedee. Those are really tough guys to deal with. They are really the rough nuts, the tough nuts, because they are fighters. Remember what James and John, this twin brother, said to their mother, say, hey, mom, there's something we want to ask you. Mother's Day, right? Hey, come on. Yeah, do some favor for us. Say what? Go to see Jesus. Go to Jesus through the back door. Okay? Say, when your kingdom comes, that my two sons, James and John, one sitting at your right-hand side and another sit at your left-hand side. That is church. That is family. That is the disciples. That is us. We are just like the fighters. But Jesus wants to show them, even though we are in doubt, we may despise Jesus, and we may fight in each other. Jesus wants to show how much he loves us. And finally, the Peter, right? Peter is the leader of the pack. And Peter is the one who denies Jesus three times. So how do you and I would face such a kangaroo game, right? I mean, something like a mob. But that night, in the dead night when they were fishing, Jesus appeared to them. There's a game changer. At the daybreak, Jesus said, "Hey, come on! Do you have anything to eat?" And said, "No, we have been laboring hard left and right for the whole night and caught nothing." And Jesus said, "Okay, you cast your net over that way," and then they just netted in an abundant catch of 153. So yeah, someone in now maybe very much in. To decode what that number 153 says, but it says it's abundance of fish, but the net was not torn. So Jesus asked them, "Okay, do you have anything to eat? Any fish?" They have no fish, so Jesus said, "Come and eat." So Peter, at that point in time, he was totally exhausted. His dreams have bubble burst along with his friends. They are all bubble burst. They are just down to the bottom of the pit. They know they are not nothing but the dust. They know they are nothing but the worms. But Jesus said, "You are exhausted, and I know you are hungry, and I want you to have lots of fish, lots of fish." Yeah, I lived in Scotland for 5 years, and then one of their a dish on there, their favorite dish is called a fish and chip, right? So fish and chip. So the second day, Jesus rehearsed Peter when he totally collapsed. So Peter is such a prideful, he's such a fool of pride. He says, "No, Jesus, no, don't wash my feet. You can wash other people's feet, but not my feet, because I know you're the rabbi, you're a teacher, I'm your disciple, I'm your student." I mean, in the Chinese says, "I know the rules, I know the regulation, I know what's in the book. So please don't wash my feet." He's so very proud. And then he says, "Oh, yeah, I mean, they will stumble. Other people will stumble. They will betray you. They will betray you. But I will never fall. I will never fall." I just Chinese say, he will beat his breast, say, No, not me, not me. I'm the leader of the pack, okay? And then when it comes to evangelism, to share Jesus Christ with other people, I say, let me do it. Easy peasy, right? Easy peasy, right? Just use a knife, right? He cut the ear of a servant. It's very easy. And then he is just, you know, say, let me do it, you know? And then we come to this passage. We know how he has fallen from his pride, which is good for him. So he says, and also for us. Peter denied Jesus three times in Matthew 26. And he says, you were with Jesus, the Galilean. No, you were with Jesus, Nazareth. No. And at the third time, the Chinese say, 少小离家老大回, 兵马未彩, and the 乡音未, your accent betrayed you. You're from Texas. You're not a New Yorker, right? You're the cowboy head. I mean, you may not when the rodeo head, you may not ride a horse with a rifle, but your accent certainly betrays you. This, you know, as I said, it's already portrayed in one of the Chinese ancient poems. Your accent. So this is how the legal system, how you and I will corner somebody, step by step, with a broader territory, Galilee, and then narrow down to, right, the Netherlands, and then to the your speech DNA. So each time Peter said no, and then at that point of time, we have the Patreon chicken. In the Chinese restaurant, we have the gongbao chicken. We have the, but yeah, we have the Patreon chicken. When Peter denied Jesus three times, the rooster cried. And in reading the English translation, we would read, the rooster cried, and Peter cried. He is totally collapsed. So, and then later on at chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, we say, you know, the race to the tomb to see, you know, early in the dawn, even though it's not fully in the twilight, you know, John and Peter race to the tomb. This is a very interesting race. There's another race similar to this in the Old Testament. If you have time and interest, you can look up. That's when David's son, Absalom, was killed, and two messengers raced to report to King David what happened in the war front. Okay, but here, Peter and John raced to the tomb. We expect Peter being the leader of the pack, right? He will got to arrive the tomb first. He's totally collapsed. He arrived at the tomb second place. So this is what the Chinese say, in a total collapse, we need a long, tedious process to rehab, to recovery, to say hallelujah. When we are in good health, you don't have any frozen shoulder, you can say hallelujah 1,000 times without any difficulty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But when you have the frozen shoulder, you try it out. Even a very small thing like that would bog you down. You would say, ha, ha. You have to practice, you know, for about 2 weeks or even 2 years. But it takes a long time. It's called a frozen shoulder. So when Peter is totally collapsed, Jesus needs to ask him three times, do you love me? He wants to rehab Peter step by step, inch by inch. So that's why in Chinese, there's a kind of way to cure your frozen shoulder is called the Ma Yi Shang Su. Well, it so happens it's to be one of the favorite dish, right? Ma Yi Shang. But anyway, so Jesus wants to rehab Peter when he totally collapsed. And finally, we will see Jesus uses Peter even when he feels totally irrelevant. This is so very vital in each one of our lives, no matter how old, how young we are. Because even though we live in the USA and we live in the Woodlands, this is my first time in this church. See the large acres, you know, many acres of trees, and you know, you have, you know, all those modern equipment, and you have all you want. So you sometimes say, what can I give to my parents, to my mom? What can I give him when he or she has already everything? Well, sometimes we have everything, but we feel empty in our heart. We feel irrelevant. So Jesus wants to use Peter, okay? And then so he says, every time Peter said, Jesus, you know I love you, every time, Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my name, 3 times. So here we must pause and look at ourselves, look at Peter, look at him and say, Jesus, are you out of your mind? Are you? We just say, look at me or look at Peter, look. And I say, are you out of mind? You know, if someone cheats you the first time, you are stupid, right? If someone cheats you a second time, he's bad. He has a very serious bad character. His intent is rotten to the core. And the third time, hey man, what's the matter with you? He has cheated you 3 times. So do you want to save your money in a bank that has already frauded you 3 times? You know, sometimes we will pick up the phone and say, oh, blah, 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 you know, my goodness, it's you again, right? So the first time we will say, oh, we are kind of, you know, we are kind of in the caught in a war fork. In the modern news term, it's called we may be caught up in a fork of war. But so we are stupid. But second time, oh man, he's the same guy. He's a bad guy. And the third time, we still fall in with the same trick, with the same defraudant. What's the matter with Jesus? Are you out of mind? I'm trying to say, have you taken the wrong medicine? In a very plain, the proverb says, did you get up from the wrong side of your bed? Yeah, this morning. Are you out of mind? So, you know, I mean, Jesus, you would be afraid, right? I mean, would you be afraid that Peter would stab you in the back? Jesus said, Peter, follow me. I want to show you the way of life. I want to use you. But Jesus, would you be concerned, afraid that he would stab you in the back? So us in our human terms can do in our utmost possible thing for us to do is say, I forgive you, but please get lost, okay? Out of sight, out of mind, okay? Between you and me, our debts are wiped off with single stroke. But from now on, no more cross paths, okay? You go over your highway, I will go on my low way. Yeah, Scotland, right? There's a highland, there's a lowland. So no more cross paths and get lost for good. Okay, that's what we, humanly speaking, the utmost we can do. But probably you are not old enough, but after the Vietnam War, So this is probably the critical turning point in the U.S. History, the recent history, that really shake up and shock our nation. So after the Vietnam War, we will hear this song, right? Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. What does the song say? What does this popular song back like 30, 40, 50 years ago say? It says about when those veterans, those GI, broken, wounded, penniless, and they want to return home, right? They want to return home to their family, to their parents, to their brothers and sisters. But they are not sure whether their family, their wife would receive them. So they would, so we sing this song, tie a yellow ribbon around that oak tree in our front yard if you still want me. So when I come close enough to the house, then I can see clearly that yellow ribbon tied around the old oak tree, if you still want me, and I can step inside. So that's Jesus has tied so many yellow ribbons for you and for me. He wants to feed us when we are exhausted. We say, I'm just down broke. And he wants to rehab you and me when we have fallen, we have collapsed completely from our pride, from ourselves. And Jesus wants you and me, everyone that's know his name, know his saving power, to follow him no matter what, even to the very end. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, our Lord, we thank you for this time. Together we can worship in your house, that we have read your passage from the Gospel of John to see how much you love us. Even you love us to the end, far beyond what we deserve, what we beyond we can possibly pray for. So thank you. In this Mother's Day, you have shown us again, even in our family, in our church, yeah, how much you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Your message, yes, okay. We see Jesus, he didn't give up Peter, even and Peter failed three times. He won't give up each one of us. So let's sing this song together. Jesus will take care of you.